Very happy to be here, guys. And I haven't been up on this podium for several years. But the reason I'm here is because I've always loved the book, the letter to Paul to the Ephesians. And in fact, my wife and I were very blessed to have the opportunity to actually visit Ephesus about 8 years ago. An amazing experience. But this is a strong message. It's really a prayer of encouragement and hope and joy of knowing the Lord. It's about his intense love for us and our receiving gifts in keeping with his riches. Amazing story here. Okay, let me read the passage. That is why I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. And I pray that he will bestow on you riches in keeping with his glory. Hallelujah. May he strengthen you inwardly through the working of his Spirit. May Christ dwell in your hearts through faith. And may love be the root and foundation of your life. Thus you will be able to grasp fully with the holy ones, the breadth and length and height and depth of Christ's love. And experience this love which surpasses all knowledge, so that you may attain to the fullness of God himself. Then he finishes up and says, to him whose power now at work in us can do even more than we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, world without end. Amen. Hallelujah. It's an incredible prayer right from the Lord. So let me go through it and we'll, as they call it, unpack this a little bit. I found other scriptures that will explain what he's really saying, or enhance, I should say, what he's really saying in this beautiful prayer. That is why I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. Well, what I wanted to cover here is with John 14. That familiar John 14, where the Lord says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you really knew me, you will know the Father also. And from this point on, you know him, and you have seen him." Well, the Lord is using that as a way to say, if you know me and if you've seen me, you've seen my Father, because we're two in one, so to speak. And it's beautiful. And I kneel before the Father. I do that every day. And especially for men, we really have to have a healthy relationship with our dads. And if we have a healthy relationship with our dad in early in life, we'll have a greater way of appreciating and loving our heavenly dad. And so my father died when I was 13. I know Tom Lawton's dad died when he was 4. And probably there's more in the room that have had the death at an early stage of their dad. And so you have a big hole in your heart wanting that dad, and everybody has to hear the dad say, "I love you, son. I love you, Michael," or "Everything's going to be okay. Trust me." So, and we trust our dad in heaven. But it took 27 years until I was 40 years old when I finally committed my life to the Lord, and I prayed through a Life in the Spirit seminar, which is a seminar, a charismatic renewal seminar, all about receiving the Holy Spirit. And I did that, and I committed my life to Jesus, and I prayed and asked for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and there was incredible transformation in me. I came to know the Lord like he's right here, like you guys. I know you, and And I thank all you because I come to know the Lord through everyone in this room. And shortly thereafter that, the Lord said to me, Michael, I want you to get to know your heavenly dad, because he knew I was hurting from not having one, you know, up to that point in life. And from that point on, I really did get to know him. And I pray often, right, directly to the Father, because that's very reassuring to me. And when I have answers that I need answered, I come to him too. So that's why I kneel before the Father. And then the next line, and I pray that he will bestow on you gifts in keeping with the riches of his glory. Wow. Here's the answer in my experience. This is from Colossians 1. And it's, I, Paul, became a minister of this church through the commission God gave me to preach among you the mystery hidden from ages and generations past, but now revealed to his holy ones. The mystery of Christ in you, your hope of glory. Christ in you, your hope of glory. When I read that, I was overwhelmed. I said, Christ in me, my hope of glory? I was overwhelmed when I saw that reality, the truth of that. It's the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ who really lives right within us. It's an amazing reality. And so that just was totally transformative in my life. And as far as I'm concerned, that's the gift in keeping with the riches of God's glory, the greatest gift we can possibly receive as human beings. Then he says, may Christ dwell in your hearts through faith. We need that faith to remind us that that's a reality. And Paul helps us remind ourselves often. And he says, are you not aware that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? For the temple of God is holy, and you are that temple. We're the temple of God, where Jesus wants to come into our lives and the lives of everyone around us. I really feel that that's the whole purpose of Faith Walkers and why the Lord has allowed Faith Walkers to prosper for the past 25, 30 years. And why people come consistently, you know, all 35 or however many are here every week, because we come to know the Lord. We come to experience him. In this room, 30-some years ago, I went to a seminar called Experiencing God by Henry Blackaby. Are you familiar with it? I knew Bruce would be, and you are. And David was one of the teachers of that. Experiencing God. It's one thing to know him, and that's a blessing to know him, of course. But as I always say, when I gave my life to Jesus and I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I made that 18-inch journey from my head to my heart. When you can literally experience him, you just know that he's there. It's overwhelming. It's life-changing. It's transformative, and there's no question about that. So through faith, we know that we're the temple of God. And then in John 17, at the end of the Last Supper, Jesus prays, Father, I pray that, Father, I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as you and I are one. I living in them, and you living in me, that their unity is complete. So when we know Jesus, we know our dad in heaven also. It's amazing, amazing. It's that triune God, three persons in one God. And then John tells us God is spirit, and we must worship him in spirit and in truth. It's just an amazing blessing that we all are enjoying. And then the next line, and may love be the root and foundation of your life. Well, Jesus is all about love. And he wants us to have that love of him within us. And you know, faith is not given to us for ourselves alone or his love. It's always given to us to be given away, to be given away, that we become a vessel, that we can give the love of Jesus to others, all that we know and meet. And that's why I love all you guys, because I come here and I get to know Jesus through each one of you. And I remember Sandy said a similar thing when he first came here years ago, didn't you? That you experienced the love of Jesus in this room, right, Sandy?
Yeah, it was a life-changing experience. Walking into his room was the best thing that ever happened to me in my life. And I thank God every day when I pray for his group and I pray for his group, it continues.
I know. And that's why the Lord has sustained Faith Walkers for all these many years. It's an incredible blessing. So, and may the love be the root and foundation of your life. In John 13, he says, love one another as I have loved you. Love one another as I have loved you. And then coming up in Ephesians 6, he says, grace be to all who love the Lord Jesus Christ with unfailing love. So that's the other thing that I've experienced, is to receive his love. And yes, it's that my desire to receive the love of my heavenly dad and to receive the love of Jesus, knowing he's there. And when we can have that reassurance, and all children need to experience the parents' love. And that's what gives them their sense of being and who they are and how important they are and all these important aspects of life. And when that's there, the child grows and prospers. He says, I know I'm loved. I know I'm loved. I know I'm loved. And I can do all sorts of things and conquer the world and everything else because you're at peace with yourself. Very, very important. And when we have that peace of knowing that Jesus Christ, our God and Savior, loves us, it gives us such strength to go forward in life. And that's what sees us through many difficulties. And indeed, no question about that. And then the Ephesians goes on to say, thus, you will be able to grasp fully with all the holy ones the breadth and length and height and depth of God's love, and experience this love which surpasses all knowledge, so that you may attain to the fullness of God himself. When we experience Christ's love, and we know him, and we know that he lives here, we're experiencing the very presence of God in our life and in the life of those we love. And then he goes on to say that, thus you will be able to grasp fully with all the holy ones the breadth, life, and strength, the depths of Christ's love, and experience his love that surpasses all understanding to attain to the fullness of God himself. And then in Luke 10, Paul writes, teacher, what must I do to inherit the everlasting life? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Well, that was the apostles asking the Lord. And the key word here is all. You shall love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and with all your mind, and then your neighbor as yourself. The Lord wants all of us. And I remember years ago, maybe some of you remember, there was a ballad called All of You. I want to love all of you. Maybe some of you remember that. And that's really what the Lord wants of us. He wants every particle of us, everything, who we are. Are we willing to give it all up for Christ? Everything over to Christ and trust in him 1,000%, so to speak. And he's going to see us through the difficulties, and he's going to see us through the blessings. We're going to know where the blessings come from, and we know that he is an incredible blessing in the midst of our struggles in life. And frankly, I've heard read that the Lord allows trials in our lives to bring us closer back to him. And that I think that's pretty true from a practical standpoint. And then the next quote I'd like to is from Galatians 2. And this is all about Christ in us. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, and the life I now live is not my own, but it is Christ living in me. I still live my human life, but it is life of faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, how can we be crucified with Christ? By giving our all. It's that simple. We give our all. And that's what he did for us. He gave us all, ultimately, to die on the cross for us. There's nothing more that he could have done. It's the greatest thing he possibly could have done in terms of giving us his all, is to give over his life for us. And he knew that that would be this ultimate sacrifice, and that we would understand that he made that incredible sacrifice for us, that we can know how much he loved us, and then he promised us eternal life. It's amazing. And we can make that same commitment, that we said, Lord, I've given you my all. I've been crucified with you. I trust you in every way, and I praise and thank you and give you the glory. And then the finishing line is, to him whose power now at work in me can do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, world without end. Amen. Amen. I'll finish up by sharing a little bit of my last year, which some of you know. I'm so grateful for knowing and experiencing Christ lives in me, and that you do too. I'm sure all of you do too, especially this past year when I had a series of serious health issues. The Lord was my constant companion. He gave me courage and hope and strength, and through it all, I could feel that the Lord's love was always with me. I'll share with you a few of these experiences, but first I want to thank all of you for that card that you gave me when I went into the hospital with my surgery in the spring. It was very moving for me, and I was very, very grateful. I don't think I had a chance to ask everybody here, but everybody signed that card. It's great. One beautiful morning just a year ago, on October 3, I experienced a blackout when I was out taking my morning walk. I believe the Lord saw to it then that a neighbor happened to see me from her window and watched me collapse in the street. She called 911. The ambulance took me to the hospital for 4 days. No serious reaction, although it was a foretelling of my spring surgery. In January, I went to Frater to have skin cancer surgery after my previous doctor had tried unsuccessfully 2 times before to remove skin cancer from my chest. There were ongoing some problems through March. However, I'm grateful that the Lord saw to it that my surgery was successful. Then, on April 9th, I went to the ER with chest pains. My cardiologist ordered a catheterization. And the next day, I met the surgeon who told me I needed open-heart surgery and 5 bypasses. I am celebrating the 6-month period that it was anticipated in terms of a recovery right now. But the beautiful thing is that the Holy Spirit's referred to in my Bible as the Divine Comforter. The Divine Comforter. And my constant companion was my Divine Comforter all through the whole thing. And even in times when it was very painful coming out of surgery, I knew that he was with me. And I was grateful that the surgeon told me that he could do it within 2 days. I knew, I got a message that was pretty serious to take care of it right away. But also, I didn't have to think about it for a couple of weeks. and anticipated. So it was done, and I knew the Lord was with me, and he gave me that peace which is beyond all understanding type of thing. So that was, I don't know if I told you this yet, but my wife Patsy is a musician, and she, a Christian musician, and she would also write songs, and one of my favorites that she wrote is, "You were there all the time. You were there all the time." It's a beautiful song. I'd love you to hear it. But let me finish up with this. Philippians 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I say rejoice. "For the Lord is near. Dismiss all anxiety from your minds. And present your needs to the Lord in every form of petition, filled with gratitude of knowing him." Gratitude, gratitude of knowing the Lord. We can ask him for anything we want to ask. We know that he's there. He'll listen to our prayers always. "Then God's peace, which is beyond all understanding, will stand guard over your mind and hearts in Christ Jesus our Lord." He's a great guy. And I just, I get a little emotional here because it's the most wonderful thing that can happen to any one of us. So when I talk about him, I think about him a lot. But the guys are going to pass out a little prayer there to everybody. And I see that this table is kind of a double table, Tom. And they might take a little more than one of those packs. This pack of seven, so let them have a couple packs, and we can spread them around. This is a prayer that I pray every day and have for many years, and I feel it's a worship prayer, and the Lord inhabits our worship. It's a praise prayer, so I just wanted to share it with you guys, and as soon as everybody has one, we can pray it together. Everybody got one? Okay. Glory be to you, Father. Abba, Father. Glory be to your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lord Jesus crucified. Glory be to your Holy Spirit and the awesome awareness of your Spirit living in my heart. All praise and all thanksgiving be every moment ours, Lord Jesus Christ. I adore you and I give you the glory. Amen. Amen. Okay. Thank you guys. Love you all.